Praise the Lord. God is good.
Amen. Yes, he is. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm standing in the absence of my husband. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're going to try to go on. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're continuing our study of the resurrection, the handout. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to start at verse 22. Amen.
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 Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. But David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. We're going to talk about bold allegiance. That's the title of our lesson today. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you, oh God. We thank you, oh God, just for another day, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for bringing us here to this place, oh God, where we can just once again sit at your feet and learn of Jesus, oh Father. We thank you, oh God, for your word that you shall reveal to us, oh God. Have your way in this place, oh God. In the name of Jesus, speak to every single person in this place today, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Father God, just let your perfect will be done for us today, oh God. Father, give us ears that we might hear what thus saith the Lord today, oh God. And Father God, just help us to continue to walk out the word, oh God, and believe in it, oh Father. God, we just bless you and we thank you for doing it now, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about allegiance. And I looked up that word, allegiance. Anybody have a definition before I tell you what the dictionary says? And we're all in this together, okay? I'm not teaching the class.
Commitment.
Leading a discussion.
Commitment.
Commitment. That was my word too, okay?
Loyalty.
Yeah. Loyalty. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Commitment, loyalty. Allegiance, pledge of allegiance to the flag. When you say that, Christian, what are you doing?
policy not to commit treason.
Okay. Anyway, dictionary, it says loyalty or commitment of a subordinate to a superior or of an individual to a group or cause. That's what allegiance is. And we're talking about bold allegiance. And you see, I gave you all a handout, right? When I saw this today, I said, oh, this made me think of that. And of course, I don't have one for myself. Even though I was talking about Christian. Praise the Lord. But I gave you all a handout, and it has all these pledges of allegiance. And we know the one to the flag, right? Mm-hmm. United States. And then it had one, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word, I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. That was a good one. Then I saw the Christian, y'all might have heard of that one, the pledge allegiance for the Christian, to the Christian flag. And it's, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood uniting all mankind in service and in love. Now, when you talk about allegiance, you're talking about commitment or loyalty to something or someone or a group or a cause or whatever else, right? So if we're pledging allegiance to the flag of the United States, we're talking about our commitment or our loyalty to the United States. Mm-hmm. Amen? And we're pledging allegiance to the Bible, we're talking about our allegiance to God's word. And to the Christian flag, we're talking about our allegiance to Jesus and being who he wants us to be. So I just handed these out to you all. And I know you know the pledge of allegiance to the flag. But the other two, I want to say them. I want us all to say them together, but only if you commit it. If you're not committed, don't even bother saying it. Amen. So, I'm going to read it, and if y'all say them with me, then I know, okay? I'm going to make it a public, because that's what allegiance is. You do make a public display of your, you know, what you're committed to. So if you're bold, and you want to have this bold allegiance, like our lessons talks about, we're going to get into it in a second, we can pledge allegiance. Amen? Amen. We're going to pledge allegiance to the Bible, and we're going to pledge allegiance to the Christian flag together. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, on the count of three, I want to hear some voices with me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. One, two, three. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin. Amen. Okay. And to the flag. Ready? I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood uniting all mankind in service and in love. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. So we done pledge our allegiance. We just gave a bold allegiance. God heard us. He's our witness. Amen. So we made a commitment with our mouths. Okay. Let's get into our lesson. It says, my parents met and married in San Diego in 1969, the year the Padres were founded as a Major League Baseball team. They caught the spirit of the team from the beginning and haven't looked back. Their loyalty keeps them attending games now well into their retirement. Still decked out in their Padres shirts, boldly letting the world know whose side they're on, no matter the odds against them. In this study, we will reflect on the beginning of something much greater. We'll be invited to radical devotion and bold allegiance to one who is supremely worthy. And unlike our favorite sports teams, this one will never disappoint us. And of course, I'm smiling because I'm reading this, and the only thing, you know, I know it's about our pledge of allegiance to God and faith. But for some reason, Brother James just keeps, he just sticks out as heavy.
still a nation, right?
And we don't know what team Brother James is committed to by now. We must be under a rock. He is like these people in this lesson where they said they started way back in 1969. I looked up the Padres and their record. For them to be loyal to, like, Brother James, I don't know their record, but I don't think it's good. Sorry. I don't watch football, but I just get that feeling. But for them to be committed from 1969, when they started out, they had 512,000 people in the stadium. Now they have over 2 million people, so they've seen the growth over the years. But their record for this year was 74-88. The Padres. That's not too good.
That's decent.
Okay. But not that you expect that you win less than you lose. Yeah?
No.
No. You should win more, right? Yeah. Okay. I don't know what the Mets record was.
Better than that?
Oh. A lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about commitment to teams. Anyway, let's get into this question. It says, okay, group discussion. How do you publicly demonstrate your association with a favorite team or organization?
Ooh. Okay. Well, mine's by, putting on Facebook and saying it here, I always say it's still a nation. Same thing like what AJ talk about, his college team, Alabama.
Roll Tide.
That's how I publicly demonstrate, besides wearing a t-shirt or whatever.
Okay, but you post about it, you're always talking about it. Okay. Anybody else, how you publicly demonstrate your association? I know the Jasmine, she with the Mets. She wears blue and orange every time the game is on. She'll have on a jersey or a t-shirt, she'll have a cap. She has earrings. She has countless stuff. Christmas decorations. She publicly displays.
My son has a Mets flag outside of his house. His tag says Mr. Met on his truck. They have all the uniforms, the whole family have all the uniforms and everything. They're all decked out in there.
Some people are so outrageous with their demonstration of who they like, in sports. But we don't see that so much when it comes to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, we wear our t-shirts, but we don't boldly say, who Jesus is. Like, we brag on these teams. Mm-hmm. We act like we got money in the teams and things like that sometimes. And we don't. Well, I think most of us don't anyway. So, the question says, what are you most deeply devoted to and how do you act on this devotion? And I know the Sunday school answer is who?
Jesus.
That's right. We are all deeply devoted to Jesus. But what else are we most deeply devoted to?
Family. Husbands, family,
children.
Yeah,
spouses, children, jobs.
For me, I'm devoted to the Army.
Service.
A lot of times I'm going to different schools to stay technically proficient. I'm always doing some type of physical activity, so to make sure I stay at the cutting edge. So when the call comes, I'm prepared.
Okay, so that part of your devotion is learning about what you're devoted to, right? That's what we're saying. Mm-hmm. So if we say that we're devoted to Jesus, are we learning about Him? Are we committed to learning about Him? Do we take the necessary steps that we need to get to know Jesus better? All those are
all
just a personal reflection.
I'm going to say I feel in that area sometimes.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Be honest,
Lord.
I feel in that area.
Praise the Lord.
When I look at the other stuff I'm devoted to,
It doesn't compare.
It doesn't compare.
Yeah, I'm guilty too. I mean, I put a lot of time in doing a lot of things besides studying the Word, you know. And sometimes you do feel like, you know, I don't always speak for myself, but sometimes it is hard to just sit and just read the Word, study the Word. But if we claim that we're devoted, that's what we should be doing, you know, because that shows our devotion. Lord, I'm committed to this. I'm committed to you. I want to know more about you, and this is what I'm going to, if this is what it takes for me to get to know you better, then I'm going to do it. You know, that's what devotion is. That's what loyalty is. That's what allegiance is. And if we say that we're pledging allegiance to something or someone or a cause, then we should show, you know, show that allegiance in some kind of way. And I think it comes out anyway with, you know, in our language and what we do to demonstrate it, especially when we talk about our sports teams. Amen. Some people are so outrageous, though. They have no shirts on in the winter. I just never understood that one. And they'll have the design or tattoo or writing on their chest. Like, why? What does that show? That those craziness. That's
really nice. Those are usually the large people.
Exactly.
They
stay warm.
Yeah. Yes.
That's just crazy. I just never understood that one. Anyway, all right. We'll get back to it. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came with great power on the disciples of the risen and ascended Jesus. In response to the confusion and outright mockery of those who observed, Peter boldly testified that the promises of God had been fulfilled. And we read the scripture. And we know the day of Pentecost was like 50 days after the Passover. So this is when, it's actually when the church had started. Okay. Do you remember the scripture? We're going to have to read it again. Acts 22, Acts chapter 2, that's where we are, starting at verse 22. Question 1 says, if you had been in a crowd of Israelites that day, what overall effect do you think Peter's speech would have had on you? And I guess I should just read a little bit of Acts chapter 22. Where's my scripture? I'm going to read it from a different version. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. I'm just going to read verse 22 and 23. Fellow Israelites, I'm reading from the New International Version. Listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Now, if you heard Peter saying this, you were in the audience. Question 1, what kind of effect do you think that would have on you? You're in the crowd.
So I don't believe in Jesus.
What are you saying? Who is he though in the crowd?
Well, it says the Israelites, so you're a believer.
Well, I didn't do it then.
Anybody else? Mm-hmm. He didn't do it. Would you feel offended?
Yeah.
Feel guilty. I probably wasn't the one who actually crucified him, but I witnessed it.
You witnessed him?
Yeah.
Yeah, we weren't the ones who actually put him on the cross,
mm-hmm.
right?
But you would feel guilty for standing by not doing nothing.
Exactly.
So you kind of, so this, when Peter says all this, you probably feel offended, probably feel guilty, maybe a little condemned,
mm-hmm.
maybe ashamed.
Mm-hmm. Probably a little scared. Because you know you did something or allowed something to happen that shouldn't have.
That shouldn't have. Because yeah. Come to find out who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if You know, some people could be in this crowd and they could actually take offense. Mm-hmm. Because Peter is saying this. You're the one who he might have pointed his I probably would have been pointing my finger. You're the one who did it. You put Jesus on that cross. So some people could have said, you know, they could have been offended. How dare you talk to me like that? Right? But you gotta admire Peter because he was bold. He's in amongst this crowd and he's talking like this, but he was bold. And what I thought about was sugarcoating. Sometimes we sugarcoat things to make them sound better. But Peter was just like right to the point, you put him on this cross. So, and I know we all know people like Peter, right? Or are we the Peters? Who are so bold like that, who just say stuff, even if it means that you might make somebody mad, you might offend them, you might hurt their feelings, they might feel a little guilty. Are we Peters, or do we know somebody like Peter, or what we think about people like Peter?
I guess it depends what day. I can be Peter. It depends on the day, and it depends on the situation.
Okay.
So I could be either one, depending on.
Okay, so you could be a Peter.
I could be.
Peter had their boldness because of the Holy Spirit that came upon them.
Okay, you know, so we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly. His personality, he was brash before, but when it came on, he was able to come up. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, amplified that.
Yeah,
that's true.
Some of us are bold, but it has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true. That's true, because even before, you know, Peter was walking with Jesus, or when as he was walking with Jesus, when he wanted to cut off the soldier, yeah, he had that fight in him. Exactly. So mm-hmm. You're right, the Holy Spirit just empowered him.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I like to think that I'm a Peter sometimes, but I know sometimes I need to temper it. Mm-hmm.
But that's the Holy Spirit right there. The Holy Spirit, you know, it gives you a boldness, but also say what to say and what not to say.
Okay. So we have to use it with like zeal without knowledge.
He's a counselor. Hmm? He's a right. Counselor, right?
Yeah. Right. You have something to say, Nida? I'm just looking.
I think I am, but I think that I would like to be more. Because sometimes, you know, it's like even though that the truth hurts, sometimes you need to listen to it.
Yeah, you know? Sometimes you need to listen to it, sometimes you need to deliver it.
Because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pastor talked about that Sunday, about being able to take correction.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You see that? You know, what if Peter was like, I don't want to offend anybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pastor did just teach about that, you know, especially if we feel the Holy Ghost prompting to save. We need, if we have this allegiance like we say we do, we need to be bold about it. The righteous are as bold as lions, right? So we need to be able to declare it. So people know who we say we are, you know, we pledge to, who we're committed to. All right. Question two. We're just going to do a couple of questions. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. What serious accusation does Peter bring against the gathered Israelites? Oh, just talk about that.
Murder.
What did you say?
Murder.
Who did murder?
Jesus.
Right. Okay. Yeah, crucifying Jesus. That was a serious accusation that Peter brought against him. Y'all did it. And we did. We're all guilty. You know, even though we weren't actually there, but the Bible says it. That Christ died for our sins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when he went to that cross, we were there, really. Mm-hmm. You know, because Christ saw us ahead of time, and he said, okay, I'm going to the cross. I need to die for it. So we are guilty of putting Jesus on that cross. All right, verse 24 through 28. I'm going to read that in another version, too. And it says, I'm reading this one from the New Living Translation. It says, but God released him from the horrors of death. We're talking about Jesus. And raised him back to life. But death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him. I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope. For you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. And that is actually from Psalm 16. I don't know how many of you have in the Bible it has like cross-references in your Bible that tells you where the scripture text is from. And that was actually from Psalm 16. I'm turning there. I'm turning with me if you want. Psalm 16. And there is just, it's a Psalm of David. And he's just talking about, he says in the scripture, I saw the Lord always before me. I'm going to find it. It starts at verse number 8. 16, verse number 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. See, those words are almost identical, and yet it's Peter repeating them. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So, question 3 says, thinking about this scripture, thinking about what David said, why was it impossible for Jesus to be held in the power of death? Why was it impossible?
Because he is life. Because he is life.
Because he is life. Okay. What's the obvious answer? You're right, because he was life, but what's the obvious answer? Why was it impossible for Jesus to be held in the power of death?
Because he's God.
Because he's God.
Amen.
Right, that's the obvious answer. Because he was God. And I looked up this study, and it said, while this truth ought to be affirmed without hesitation, the text allows us to explore Peter's claim more closely. Peter explains himself by citing Psalm 16 and arguing that Jesus could not be held in the grave because God promised long ago through the lips of David that the Holy One would not see decay. So it says that when David was in Psalm 16, he was talking about Jesus, that the grave couldn't hold him, that his body would not rot. So God had to fulfill his promise. Mm-hmm. And that's why. But it is the obvious answer was, because he's God. Amen. Okay, I'm going to do 2 more questions. Okay, what scriptures does Peter base his message on? And we know he based it on Psalm 16. And I don't know if you would necessarily know the other psalm, unless you have a cross-reference in your Bible. But it says from verse 25 to 28, it will tell us. I'm going to read those again. Yeah.
I would just read those, right?
Mm-hmm. I sure did. 34 and 35. Okay. But David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. You know what psalm that comes from? It's Bible drill. Let's see. Anybody? Nobody has a cross reference in their Bible? Well, I guess mostly because if you have a King James Version, that usually, well, no, because sometimes other versions give you. Anybody? No. It's Psalm 110. Psalm 110. That's what it is. And it's just verse 1, and it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. I really don't know why they have that in there like that without really going into detail. Anyway, Question five. What central point does Peter make by quoting these particular scriptures? And that's from verse 29 through 31. Anybody? What's the central point that that Peter's trying to make in quoting these scriptures? The main point. Jesus is the true King of Israel. He's the true King of Israel. And David finds his ultimate satisfaction in Jesus. That he is the one that Peter's trying to tell them. The one that y'all crucified, that's the one. That's the one that God chose. That's the one that David talks about. He's the one that you've been waiting for. He's the Messiah. And y'all crucified him. That was Peter's point. And if you notice, if you go on to continue to read Acts chapter 2, it's the whole thing where they talked about the Pentecost, and they talked in the end how many souls came to Christ. That's that whole chapter. I think it was like 40-something, but I don't know how many verses. But read it all the way through the end, and you'll see that's because of Peter being so bold with his faith, all these people came to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that was Peter's whole point. I'm going to see if I can find it right now. I just want to say it and just throw it out there. Okay, it starts at verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And this is all, if you read the whole chapter, it says the title in my Bible is Peter's Sermon. And this is all because he was letting it all out there. He was being bold. He was, you know, telling people, this is who I pledge to. This is what I'm going to proclaim. And because he did that, all these people were saved. All these people came to Christ. So what does that tell us? You know, if we're bold like that, God gives us that boldness to speak and declare his word and to stay with it. People are going to change. People are going to come to him. People are going to be drawn to him because of that. You know, they'll see that power of God.
I have a question.
Oh, sure.
The thing is right here. And verse 40 where he said, what Peter was saying, he said, be saved from this perverse generation. A lot of preachers won't even say that. You know, but you come to church, it's like, oh, God going to give you $1 million and blah, blah, blah. So people are like, okay, I could continue to do what I do, and then God's going to forgive me and save me anyway. But this is not the message that Peter preached. This is not the message that Jesus said. He said, okay, you're in sin. That's why I said, he said, you need saving. You need to be saved.
Yeah.
But a lot of people won't say that, and that's part of saying, like, being bold, because, you know, he's like you say, we don't want to offend, we don't want to make people upset. So we like, hey, don't worry. We pet you, and don't worry about it. You know, we love you, and that's what even Paul said. He said, you know that someone in the church was having an affair with their mother or their stepmother, and no one didn't say nothing.
That's right. That's right.
And he said, what's wrong with you?
That's right.
So that's what I say about being bold.
Yeah, that's it exactly, and it's just amazing. God is amazing to me because Pastor Jeff just talked about this on Sunday, you know, being able to
correct
and rebuke. Mm-hmm. And this is what Peter was saying, you know. And you're right, because a lot of teachers don't, they don't want to talk about people and their sins. They want to declare messages of prosperity, which is all well and good. We talk about prosperity all the time. But you can't just share that. You can't just have people getting so excited by a message that they run around the church because they believe that God is going to bless them. You know, you got to share the word. You got to share words that correct so that you know how to, people know how to live their lives.
Amen.
They need to, you know, and if somebody is doing something that's not in line with the word, if the Holy Ghost tell you to say, don't just say, sugarcoat it. No. What are you doing? You know, you are not supposed to be sleeping around. No, you're not.
And I'm going to tell you so. Especially if you think you're going to do that and then get up here. No. It ain't going to happen. You know, you can't be stepping out on your wife or your husband and doing, and no. And if you see somebody, you know somebody's doing that, then you need to. We need to correct them. We need to share the word. Oh, and all we need to do is say what the word says. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You got to say nothing. You ain't got to be, you know, deep or anything. You know, just share the word. And a lot of times we get away from it. We get in trouble.
I say pledge allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the United States, but then you say, okay, but I'm still loyal to Iraq. You say, but you're not saying who you say you are. I'm right. American, but, you know, your heart is for
right.
Iraq. So.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And the sad thing is, you're talking about, you know, pledge allegiance to America, to the flag. We pledge allegiance to Jesus. But then when we go and live a life that's contrary to what we say we pledge allegiance to, people see that. Mm-hmm. And they're confused. Really? You know, that's why people say, I didn't know you're a Christian. You know, because, mm-hmm. Or you know, that because, and we do it. We do it. We do it. Mm-hmm. We're the guilty ones. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, just, okay, I'll do two. The last two. In verse 32, Peter describes himself and the other apostles as witnesses of the risen Jesus. Okay, y'all know this. What does it mean to be a witness? I'm just talking about this. What does it mean to be a witness? I like to look things up in the dictionary. So I have the official definition. But what does it mean to be a witness to you all? Anybody? What does it mean to be a witness?
You saw it happen.
Yeah. To say the truth.
It's so easy.
Person of integrity.
Yeah.
Because you got to be credible if you're a witness.
That's true. But there's some witnesses that are not very credible. You know, I watch a lot of judge shows. I can watch it for hours. I'm with the best of them. Like, oh, yeah. I know the Lord because I watch Judge Judy. But, there's a lot of witnesses. Not their testimony, not very credible at all. Judge Judy, tell them in a minute, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. And I think some people are saying that, I don't believe you. You know, because of the way we act so contrary. But that's what it is. It means that we have seen something. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a witness is a person who has seen something. But there's also a verb term of the witness. And that is, I think you said it. What you said, one of you. It's giving an account of what you see. Mm-hmm. It's testifying mm-hmm. to what you've seen, mm-hmm. to what you know. Mm-hmm. So we're witnesses to Christ, we're witnesses. So we need to be what? We need to be testifying of what we know about Christ.
Exactly.
Testifying to his goodness, mm-hmm. testifying to his grace, you know, that saved us, testifying that he died on his cross for all of us, for all our sins, right? Mm-hmm. That's how you be a witness, and that's what, you know, witnessing is all about. Anybody? Anything else? Okay, last question. This is a personal question. How are you also a witness to the risen Lord? You can just think about this because Pastor Jeff will probably continue on this next week. But let's just leave it there. How are we a witness? So I think it's something good to chew on and to meditate on as we go about this week. You know, we got the event coming up on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, how are we going to be a witness? Because that's what it's about. It's Thanksgiving and praise. So it's giving thanks to God for what he's given us, and praise for what he's given us. Mm-hmm. So we're witness to that. So just think about that. Just chew on that. Well, you know, until next week, we pick up again. Continue. Praise the Lord. And, and we'll go from there. But just think about, how are you a witness to the Lord? Are you bold in your faith? Are you bold in your allegiance? Do people believe what they see? You know, or are you contrary? Your actions speak otherwise. just things to chew on. I try to keep that in mind, because sometimes I don't, especially lately, I just don't feel like doing stuff. But I do it anyway because I don't want to give off a bad witness. I really don't. And I think that if we have that as our motivating factor, then we'd be okay. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. All right. Any questions or comments before we close out? Anybody? Okay. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you once again, O God. We just thank you, O God, for this opportunity, O God. We thank you, O God, for your teaching, O God. Just help us, Father God, to be witnesses of you, O God. Help us to be bold in our faith, O God. Help us to declare the truth when we need to, O Father, in the name of Jesus, O God. And Father God, just continue to work out your soul salvation in us, O God, in the name of Jesus, O God. Remind us, O God, of who Jesus is to us, O God, who he has been, O Father God, and help us to walk that out, O Father, in the name of Jesus, O God. And Father, as we leave this place, O God, Father, just keep us safe as we travel on the road, O Father, in the name of Jesus, O God. And even watch over our pastor, O God, as he makes his way back home tonight, O Father, in the name of Jesus, O God, and as we enter to our homes, O Father, just bless us and greet us, O Father, with your presence, O God. And Father, we just bless you, and we thank you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.